Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I am Kevin David Thomas.
And this is our favorite thing.
Huzzah!
Huzzah! Happy Throwback Thursday,
Yay.
Kevin.
Hey!
How have you been?
This is one of my favorite days.
Is it really?
No, I love when we get to chat about this stuff.
Me too.
I do, I'm not going to lie.
I live for this. I love geeking out about musical theater.
Totally.
And I hope I think our listeners like geeking out about musical theater as well.
You know, if you're like me, I mean, there are things that I had never been on my radar before. And then now I go home, or if I ever have some free time and go down I went down the Stairway to Stardom rabbit hole, Rob. Thanks a lot for that. I mean, Precious, what's her
Precious
name?
Precious
Cheryl
Tapped.
Klein. I mean, these people
Cheryl
are.
Klein.
And if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, please go back and listen to one of our favorite things podcasts where Rob talked about Stairway to Stardom, the public access cable series from the early 80s into the early 90s, I want to say. 82 to 91 or something? I don't know.
And if you need some help, I live up in Harlem. Come on up and come watch with me.
It's always on the TV here.
It's always on the TV.
Man, it's good though.
I don't think I mentioned this, but if you watch the Cheryl Klein one, did you notice how the camera panned a little bit and there was the host eating dinner in his kitchen?
I need to go back and
He's
watch
eating
that.
His little spaghetti and meatballs. He's a very happy man.
I was too disturbed by her performance. I mean, and fascinated by it.
Oh, I love that performance.
She's like so coked up. Like she's
You know what I forgot to mention to you? About Stairway to Stardom, and then we'll move on.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry, guys.
No,
it's
hey,
a very
I started
unhealthy
it. I started it.
Okay, there were two women on there who were, oh my God, I can't remember their names.
It's okay. Oh, we have to look it up, though.
Kevin, this
were they in sequined?
Yes.
They were in, I can't believe I know this.
Horowitz and Spector.
Oh my God, of course. It sounds Thank like a law firm.
It's Horowitz and Spector. Do you remember, I don't know if many people remember this, on SNL, when Jan Hooks and Nora Dunn would do the Sweeney Sisters.
Oh yeah.
They said they based the Sweeney Sisters off of Horowitz and Spector.
They were like they're in like sequined leotards.
They would
or
do
something.
Medleys everywhere. Yeah. Mark Shaiman was actually the pianist in
oh
the
my
sketches.
Gosh.
So that was them. Now I'm so sorry. I need to put a cold washcloth on my head because we're talking about Stairway to Stardom. I just need to lay down. Oh my God.
So that's what I've been doing.
That's what you've been doing.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
I have to tell our viewers, I'm a little tired because I stayed up late last night. They released a new episode, a full episode, which I had never seen before.
Of
A Stairway to Stardom.
Who was releasing this stuff, Rob? Because it's an official YouTube account.
So this is what I found out because I contacted them.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. They love the show. The people that own that channel or created that channel loved the show. And when Frank Massey was still alive, they interviewed him and they said that they were doing a documentary about public access. They weren't doing a documentary
they just
about
wanted
public
to get
access.
To him. Yeah.
And so they met him. They did an interview with him, which is also on YouTube. And it's actually very interesting. And they said, can we take whatever tapes you have and copy them? Because we'll probably want to use it for the documentary. And he said, yes. And they got all the tapes. And
legally,
Well, he owned the material, and he gave it to them and said, do what you want with it. So, yeah, so legally, yeah.
Hey, and we're all the merrier for it, so, you know.
And I told him, I said, I just want to thank you guys for the endless hours of entertainment.
Some of them have, like, 50,000 hits. I mean, like, they're very popular. For campy, you know, Stardom.
They are so good.
They're so campy, and they're so earnest.
So earnest. So earnest. God bless each and every one of them. I applaud that.
I would really like a Where Are They Now episode. That would be really nice.
I would love to do that. But I can't find them. So imagine I Google Cheryl Klein, New York City.
Oh, I mean, Rob.
How many Cheryl Kleins do you think are in New York City? 70,000?
And this is like something like
80,000?
35 years later. Yeah, like, you know?
That could not have been a real name, maybe. Maybe she's married now. Who knows?
Wow.
Who knows?
What fun.
She actually changed her name to Patty LuPone.
It kind of seemed like the... What's New Buenos Aires? That clip, it kind of was reminiscent of
it. Well, you know what? What's funny is she's in the middle of the comedy set and somebody's talking to her. Excuse me. So maybe it is Patty LuPone.
The comedy routines are also very good.
Oh, aren't they pretty good?
Awkwardly amazing.
Please, Stairway to Stardom. I'm so sorry.
And that's my favorite thing. See, it's such a favorite thing that we can revisit it again. So
my favorite thing, besides Raindrops on Roses and Whiskers on Kittens, 1973.
Great year.
A great year. And I'm going to talk about the show a little bit.
Okay.
But I really want to talk more about the lyricist of the show.
Okay.
Because I think she...
Oh, a she.
A she is someone who does not get the credit she deserves.
I'm a huge fan of that. And I'm giving credit.
After the Trudy Rittman episode, I feel like this woman should get a little bit more attention.
All right.
Lyricist, Dorothy Fields.
I knew it. I knew you were going to say that.
Composer. Cy Coleman. Yes. Book by Michael Bennett.
Yep.
Parentheses, Neil Simon, uncredited.
What? Another Neil Simon?
Another Neil Simon, uncredited.
He did a lot of that ghost work.
I would like to introduce everybody to a wonderful musical called Seesaw. Yes, Kevin got
totally.
It.
Totally. I love Seesaw.
I love Seesaw,
Michelle Lee. Ken Howard.
The late, great Ken Howard, who just passed away.
Oh, he did just pass away.
From the great White Shadow. That was the TV show, The White Shadow.
Oh, gosh, Robin. We heard a story about it because when we interviewed Leroy, remember?
Remember,
I was going to play the Tommy Toon part.
Yes.
And then things changed. So the relationship with Michael Bennett changed a little bit.
Yes. If you want more information on Seesaw, go back to part one out of the 80-part series we did with
the
Broadway legend
interview
Leroy Reams.
Leroy Reams.
It's like when David Frost interviewed Richard Nixon. Like a big, long... epic. And I loved it.
Martinis came out.
We had so many martinis. Maybe I'll do this. Maybe 200 years after we have all passed away, we will release the unedited version of the Leroy Reams interview, because there were things that were said,
so much shade,
and
so much
things
like...
that were revealed. My jaw was on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
My jaw was on the floor. I can't even begin.
So, Seesaw. Tommy Toon. Yep. And so, it was one of his first breakout roles, I want to say.
For Tommy Toon.
Yeah.
So for those of you who aren't aware of Seesaw, it was a musical in 1973, and it's based on a play by William Gibson, who also wrote The Miracle Worker.
Oh, right. Right.
And the play was called Two for the Seesaw, and it starred Anne Bancroft, Henry Fonda.
Wow.
Those were two big heavy hitters at the time. And the story is it's very similar. It's boy meets girl with fish out of water, which is the young woman is a dancer on Broadway in New York City. She's very eccentric, very liberal, and her boyfriend is a very conservative lawyer from the Midwest. And it's how the two of them get together in their romance, and is it going to work out? That's pretty much the play. We've seen this before. The musical version of Seesaw is one of the most complicated creations of a musical in Broadway theater history, and it's still talked about to this day for many big reasons. Originally, the book was going to be by Michael Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
Who wrote Hello, Dolly. Same composing team, Cy Coleman, Dorothy Fields.
Right.
A guy named Ed Sheeran was going to direct it. And he was mostly known for plays. He had just done The Great White Hope, which is the story of an African-American boxer. Not necessarily the first person you think of when it comes to a musical theater directing, if that makes sense.
This happens a lot, I feel like. You know,
it does. There's this idea that, well, he directed or she directed a play, they're going to know what to do with a musical. They're two totally different beasts.
Yep.
They're two totally different people. And it doesn't mean that you can't easily go back and forth. I mean, look, Joe Mantello does it. Jack O'Brien does it.
Sam Mendes
does it. Directing is very much like acting. There's a type that you have. You do your strength really well. And just because you're good at one thing doesn't mean you can do everything. We're all limited.
Agreed.
We're all limited. And it looks like I think that Mr. Sheeran was one of those. And the leading lady was going to be Lainey Kazan. Lainey Kazan, who, My Big Fat Greek Wedding,
she was on the Nanny a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite movies, You Don't Mess With the Zohan.
Are you serious?
Adam Sandler. I love that movie. You Don't Mess With Zohan. Please. Zohan is genius.
All right, I'll let you have that one.
Thank you.
I don't know it.
He plays an Israeli spy.
What?
Adam Sandler's an Israeli spy who moves to New York. And never mind. If you've never seen it, pretty great.
All right, I'll consider it.
Lainey Kazan plays the woman he's living with, okay. Who's always sleeping with him.
Oh, gosh.
They're having an affair. She sleeps with Adam Sandler.
Okay.
And there's a very frightening scene
sounds frightening.
Where her son walks in on them and they're doing a doggy style. It's
okay. All right.
But it's a classic. So anyway, Lainey Kazan was going to be the lead. Needless to say, trouble out of town.
Classic.
Ed Sheeran fired.
Gone.
And they bring in Michael Bennett.
Michael Bennett, who he's the golden child.
Child. He's coming off a Company. He's coming off of Follies.
Follies, yeah.
First thing Michael Bennett does, gets rid of Lainey Kazan.
Gone.
Fires her. Why? He says, no one's going to believe that someone so zoftig, which is a nice Yiddish
word. I've never even heard that word before.
For big,
oh.
Is going to be a Broadway dancer. And she begs with him and she pleads with him. She says, please let me stay in the show. This is going to be her big break. Please let me be in the show. Fires Lainey Kazan and brings in Michelle Lee.
Oh, I mean, like, complete opposite.
From How to Succeed and all that stuff. And he changes.
A young Michelle. I mean,
a
like,
young
she's,
Michelle Lee. And he changes the whole tone of the show. He also brings in his associate choreographer, Tommy Toon, and gives him a featured role.
A major song.
Tall Tommy Toon. And this is Tommy Toon's breakout role. That role was originally being played by another actor who got fired. But who was promised that role before that actor?
Leroy Reams.
Leroy Reams. And Leroy does not come to Detroit where they're out of town. Leroy thinks he's going to come in. Does not happen. So what happens is, and this is actually what's really, really brilliant. Michael Bennett takes this show, which is supposed to take place in New York City. When they were doing it out of town, New York City was presented very realistically and literally. Mm. And Michael Bennett somehow was able to take the grit of New York City and marry it with the fantastical images we have of New York City. Mm. So the New York City of Seesaw is a hybrid. It's a little gritty and it's a little fantastical.
Mm.
And the story takes on a whole new tone and the show becomes a success out of town. It moves into New York City and it becomes a success in New York City. And it features an amazing score, including things like My City, very classic song that's sung at auditions a lot, Nobody Does It Like Me.
Oh, great song.
Welcome to Holiday Inn.
That's a funny song.
Which is a very funny song, ladies, if you're looking for something funny to do. Spanglish.
Yes.
Spanglish, which is a story of how Jerry Ryan, our very waspy lawyer, learns how to speak the hybrid languages of New York City. And Tommy Toon's big number.
It's not where you
start. It's where you finish. An optimistic, hopeful song done with staircases and balloons.
Oh, yeah.
There is a clip of it that's amazing, and we will post it on YouTube.
Full Michael Bennett special there.
Oh, a full Michael Bennett special. And one of the really, really cool things about the show is that in order to get sagging ticket sales up as a publicity stunt, they got the actual mayor of New York City at the time, John Lindsay, to make a cameo in the show. And he was actually featured in the show one night. And he actually looked very much like the leading man of the show. He looked a lot like Ken Howard. And
not doing anything at the office, and he just popped on by for a matinee?
That was the irony of it, which was the whole show was talking about how crime-ridden New York City was, and the mayor, who should have been stopping the crime.
Like, 8 shows a week?
Showed up. Not 8 shows a week, just a couple of cameos every once in a while.
That is so random.
And that boosted up ticket sales. I am always surprised that this show is not done at Encore.
I am too. We don't hear about it very often.
And I'm surprised it's not done more often because mm-hmm. it's a nice little throwback to the 70s and it's great. I want to give a shout out to Dorothy Fields.
You know, everyone we've talked to that has known her, everyone has the same love and affection for her. I wish we could have talked to her because she was one special lady. Allegedly enjoyed the sauce.
Enjoyed the sauce.
Yeah. Could down a vodka martini like that.
There's a great book on her, and I believe the book is called On the Sunny Side of the Street.
Mm.
This is why I really want to acknowledge her. Most lyricists and composers don't really evolve as the times evolve.
Yeah.
Just listen to these couple of songs. On the Sunny Side of the Street, The Way You Look Tonight, Big Spender. These are decades, starting in the 1920s and going up
Jerome
to the 19th.
Like,
worked with Jerome Kern.
I mean, the original operetta master.
This is a woman who, if you look at her lyrics, I mean, this is lyric writing. The optimism of On the Sunny Side of the Street and the lyrics that she uses to create Spanglish, to Welcome to Holiday Inn, to It's Not Where You Start, It's Where You Finish, always sounds exactly like the time period she is writing in.
That's special.
And honestly, not a lot of people can do that. not a lot of lyricists can do that. She was always mirroring the times.
Yeah.
And to me, I think that's incredible, and I don't think she gets the credit she deserves.
I think you're right, actually. I do. And especially, I must say, as a female artist in that time period, too. I think the fact that she was so beloved is shown in her work, because clearly she was of the time. I mean, like, she was social, she was, you know, current, and you're right. We should know her more. She's a very special woman, and her work is, and she didn't just write with Cy Coleman. I mean, she wrote with like a lot of,
she worked with just about every single major composer.
Arthur Schwartz, I love Tree Grows in Brooklyn. I believe she did those lyrics, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. Tree Grows in Brooklyn. And like I said, you know, she doesn't, everyone goes Stephen Sondheim, mm-hmm. Fred Ebb. Those are usually the big mm-hmm. lyricists that get mentioned. I'm sure I'm forgetting it. Oscar Hammerstein. Oh, yeah. But to be honest with you, and I hope this doesn't sound like sacrilege, Oscar Hammerstein's lyrics pretty much sound like the same period over and over again. And they're brilliant,
they're poetic,
and they're wonderful.
But there is a style to it, for sure, as brilliant as it is, but it is capsuled, yeah.
I feel her lyrics really hold the mirror up to the time that she's writing in. And she's able to adjust and change as time goes on. So the big thing is, if you're not going to listen to Seesaw, at least listen to something else that Dorothy Fields has done, because the work is really incredible and really impressive.
Totally.
So Seesaw, 1973. Thank God so much the stuff was preserved on YouTube for you to take a look at. I would love to see it come back in any way, shape, or form. So that's my favorite thing
for the
week. I love
that. That's a really good one.
What is your favorite thing?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
For this
All
week.
Right, you're going to know this one right away. This is a movie.
Gone with the Wind.
This movie is a rite of passage for all musical theater lovers.
Zohan.
Yeah. The musical. You're going to know it right away.
I have two ideas.
I was a freshman. It was like my first week in college, and the older classmen took us to the theater. They got this, the chamber hall, and we sat down and watched this movie. You know, it's a movie about a musical, putting on a musical in a town.
Is it? Oh, wait.
I could do a dance move for you right now, and you would know it right away.
Oh, is this Waiting for Guffman?
Of course it's Waiting for Guffman.
Oh, I love you so much right now.
You know,
I love you so much.
Rob and I both teach at New York Film Academy in their musical theater department, and we mentioned this movie to our students, and God bless them, they're like 18 to 22, and they had no idea what we were talking about. And I was completely horrified, and I was like, your homework is to go home and watch Waiting for Guffman. And they came back and they were like, oh my gosh, where's this movie been? This is hysterical. And it was like, yeah, I know it is. All right, so for those of you who perhaps don't know what this movie is, it's written by the team of Christopher Guest and Eugene Levy. They did Spinal Tap, and they did Best in Show, and they're known for making these sort of, well, this is a mockumentary kind of
mockumentary
movie, but they're really known for creating the setup for the scenes, but then the scenes are almost all improvised. There's no scripted dialogue, and you really can see that these actors, these comedic actors like Catherine O'Hara and Fred Willard, and I mean, you're thinking of all their performances right now, and Michael McKean, Parker Posey's in it, and they are so listening and reacting, and it's almost theatrical the way that they play their scenes. It is funny, it's kooky, and the whole concept of the movie is this town is celebrating their sesquicentennial anniversary. The town of Blaine in Missouri is their 150th celebration, and so they've decided to put on the musical Red, White, and Blaine. an original musical that they've got their Corky St. Clair, who is from New York City, an old faded theatrical impresario who now makes his home in Blaine and is allegedly married, but we never meet his wife, Bonnie. But he's been hired to direct it and write it. And so he brings his talentless community members together and they put on the show. And you get like something like 30 minutes of the musical. And the only thing that actually is scripted is the dialogue for the musical in the movie.
Oh, really?
That is the only part that's actually scripted. And what you see, friends, is you get to see they're all auditioned. Like Fred Willard and Catherine O'Hara are a husband and wife. And they you see their audition together. Like they audition for Corky and you watch their audition. And they have a whole medley. Oh, my God. It's so
Midnight
good.
At the Oasis,
Midnight
right?
at the Oasis. It's so wacky. Describing it to you, if you haven't seen it, just doesn't do it justice. But in the theater industry, to this day, when you are going to have opening night, everyone says it's the day of the show, y'all.
Day of the show, y'all.
Like Parker Posey says that on the day of the show. And so the whole conceit is that when they hear that this guy from New York, a producer, is going to come, and it's very like Waiting for Godot, but it's Waiting for Guffman is the producer that's allegedly coming to see their show because maybe it's going to go to Broadway. Of course, well, I don't want to ruin anything, but let's just say Guffman doesn't show up, but they think he does.
I am so happy you picked this movie.
It's like amazing.
It is. I think it is one of the funniest films ever made.
Ever.
Period.
Yep.
And I am so surprised. I don't know if we have talked about this before, but the Academy Awards never really wants to give recognition to comedies.
Totally.
I don't know why, because I think comic performance and writing is 10 times more difficult.
Yep.
And Waiting for Guffman should have been nominated for Best Picture that year. It really is hysterical. And like you were saying, if you have done community theater, mm-hmm. and you know these people, you know this world, you know Ron and Sheila.
Oh, yeah.
You go, yep, that's the married couple that think
they do everything.
They're
They think they're the you know what, and they act like it.
And I love when they do the audition, and Fred Willard goes, "Do you want me to strike the chair?" We've done shows before,
we know
all the terminology, we know the vocabulary. It is Bob Balaban as their music director, the put upon music director,
and the music in the musical though is shockingly amazing
because
like the orchestrations are like unreal. Like his orchestra sounds so good.
But I noticed that a lot of community theaters, like the show itself might not be amazing, but the band is always fantastic.
And he takes it so seriously. That fight they have, like when he's like.
Well, when are
and
they
trying to talk
it?
Under their breath. He's what are you just say it.
Just say,
say
it.
It.
Just say it. And he opens up the. Well, yeah, I don't want to give anything away. You know what one of my favorite parts in that movie is, and I think it gets unnoticed. In addition to being so funny, there's also a heart there. Mm. Eugene Levy's wife.
Yes.
When he enters in Red, White, and Blaine, it's a close-up of her, and she goes to applaud him, like to give him
applause. That's right.
And nobody else applauds, and she just puts her hands down sadly.
She's so proud of him.
And it tells you so much. I'm getting tears thinking about it.
I don't know why.
But it tells you so much about their relationship and like what he's able to accomplish.
Yeah.
I don't know who this actor is, but when they go to the audition montage – and he comes and goes, "I'm going to do a scene from Raging Bull." And he plays both parts of Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci. "Did you fuck my wife?" "What? Did you fuck my wife? How could you ask me that?"
One of my favorites is real quick is it on the now if you have the DVD there are special features, right? So you get cut scenes, and one of the cut scenes is Parker Posey's audition, and she does a whole monologue where she. She's like doing a whole monologue of like someone who's terminally ill, and they're like plugged in to the, you know, and so the whole monologue is about her, like it was like her abuser or something, and she's like, and he did things that she did not want to do, and then at the very end of it she pulls the plug on him, so she mimes it and she's like tugging at it and it doesn't come out, and then she is like, it's true comedic genius. And I read somewhere that they had no idea what they were going to do for those audition sequences.
I was just going to say
they each made up their own stuff, and they just did. And Parker is so crazy, I feel like, that she just is like wackadoo, and that was, you could see it in that monologue.
It's brilliant.
Eugene Levy does a whole like the
Camptown Races.
Yes,
it's a medley.
Yeah.
I dream of Jeannie with the light brown hair. You know, this has to be a favorite thing at some point, but I just want to recommend, if you really like these mockumentaries, go back, please, and watch SCTV, which was Canada's answer to Saturday Night Live, in which you have Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara and Martin Short and Andrea Martin, and they do so many theater parodies on there. I was watching an episode recently where they did a parody of talk shows, and Andrea Martin did Phyllis Newman. Andrea Martin came out and did Phyllis Newman, and you go, who would do a Phyllis Newman impression? And it's Andrea Martin, and it's pretty fantastic.
But she's funny. Yeah,
I deviated.
Anything with Catherine O'Hara, I'm happy. I mean, I think that woman can do no wrong. I feel like she should be a staple in this world. She's just unreal.
Catherine O'Hara is a god.
Even like Home Alone. She's the mom in Home Alone, of course.
Oh, yeah, she's the mom in Home Alone.
So you not only see that she's a great comedian, but she's actually a really good actress.
She's a brilliant
actress.
That one
scene where she freaks out that, I mean, come on. Like, it's real. I buy it.
A genius actress.
But she's funny.
So Waiting for Guffman.
Waiting for Guffman, you guys. Rite of passage. You have to see it.
Seesaw, Waiting for Guffman.
Awesome.
So listen to that, watch that, and let us know what you think. All right, till next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.